Good morning again. I am Crystal, the pastor here at City Well. It is so good to see you all this morning. It is so good to see you all this morning. For those visitors that we have with us, we have been in the midst of a Sabbath period here at City Well. From July 1st to September 1st, we are exploring what it means to rest and reflect in the Lord. So we did that, and then the Lord said, even in the midst of the Sabbath, let's get back to basics. Let's talk about what it means to know the Holy Spirit, to experience the indwelling Spirit, to know the fruit of the Spirit that you are expected to produce. And today we will talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I am reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. I will not be reading all of the chapters to you. Amen? Receive this sort of midrash that the Lord has given me. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. But God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior members, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails and love never ends. Now, whether there are prophecies, they will come to an end. As far as tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. And now, faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. So, with yourselves, since you are eager for the spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for the building up of the church. Let all things be done for the building up of the church. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let all things be done for the building up of your church, O Lord. Let your people hear, for you are still speaking. Let them see your glory. Let their hearts be torn because they desire you more. Let your glory fill this place. We are grateful because you are already here. Change us, transform us for your glory and for your name's sake. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. So a couple of years ago, 2011 to be exact, I know this date very well, a program aired on ABC's network, Body of Proof. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this Body of Proof. It aired, it came on the first time the day that I had my baby boy. So it has a special place in my heart, but it also had some good content. So that was very, very fun too. It was all about this doctor, Megan Hunt, who had been a neurosurgeon. Unfortunately, she got into a car accident and was no longer able to perform those very delicate procedures. She became a medical examiner there in Philadelphia and had to work with the PD, Philadelphia Police Department, and other medical examiners to be able to find out what happened to the victims. The body told her things about what may or may not have occurred in the crime that was committed to this person. The body was the proof. The body had something to say to this medical examiner. The body produced evidence. Today, in our passages, a long, long passage, even so much so that our slides manager called me and said, I hope you don't plan on reading all of 12, 13, and 14. No. But there is a lot to say. A lot of times, in particular with this portion of scripture, we beautifully extract 1 Corinthians 13 because we want to talk about love, but we don't keep it in its proper context. For it is sandwiched in between 12 and 14. Where are Brother Paul? I got a lot to say about Paul. Went to that school over there that some of you are about to enter. They're going to tell you some things about Paul. I even heard him called problematic. And I understand about Howard Thurman's grandmother having a problem reading Paul because it was Paul's writings that was what was used by the slave masters to say, you slaves, stay in your place. Stay in line. So I can understand our problem with Paul, but I have learned in my Wesleyan Methodist way to give grace to folks. What was Paul actually doing in these letters? This Roman citizen, or even if he wasn't a citizen, he had to deal with Rome. What was this man doing, this Jew of a Jew? What was he trying to show these new converts about their faith? Subversive Paul is what I call him now. You have to read the letters again. Realize that those letters could have been intercepted. Realize that he was speaking to a people who, yes, were going to say Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, but Caesar thought he was Lord. So how do you balance the two? He made sure that the Christians stayed alive, at least for some years, for we know the church was persecuted. But the letters got out. He was trying to show new Christians, new followers of the way, how to live in the midst of empire and show forth the glory of a living and powerful God. I've grown a new respect for my brother, even reading Philemon, in which he tells this rich man, Philemon, to receive Onesimus yet again. And just in case you want to start treating your former slave like he was enslaved again, I'll be there to check up on you in a bit. Read the letter again. Here in this letter, our brother Paul is doing the exact same thing. The Corinthians, new converts, are having some issues because they want to bring the outside world into the inside of God's house. We know about that. What goes on out there shouldn't come in here and have an effect on what we do in here. It is to be the other way around. The power of God that is dwelling in and through us must be so powerful, that light must shine so brightly that it can do nothing, nothing but change the darkness out there. Paul is trying to explain to them that the Greco-Roman ways of being, your hierarchies and your ways of putting up some folks for high esteem and others down low, is not the way to be in community, not to be followers of Jesus Christ. When you have the Spirit, something happens. Some things change. When you have the Spirit, you can't go on like you've been before. When you have the Spirit, the distinctions and the barriers and the walls do fall down. You are truly my brothers and my sisters, my siblings in Jesus Christ. Paul is trying to explain to this group of new converts that you may have gifts. Gifts are good and they are given by the Spirit. But when you start making hierarchies from the different gifts, when you start saying that the tongues are more important, or the healings are more important, or the white folks are more important, or the Latino folks are not as important, y'all hear me. That is the problem. When we are a family of faith, there is no longer those distinctions. We are a body for unity's sake, for the building up of the church. He goes on and explains these different gifts. These different gifts, each one of them deserve a sermon all unto their own. What I want to say about this non-exhaustive list is that what happened, y'all? Why don't we see these things in operation today? In undergraduate school, I was a part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Me and a group of friends who were pretty on fire for God used to actually sit around and debate this thing. Why don't we see the gifts in operation? We had received from InterVarsity an actual inventory of spiritual gifts, a little survey that you can take and find out what your spiritual gift is. So we all took it, and then whenever it came back, we would say, that's not it, that's not it. Because we wanted the big gifts. I remember I wanted to see some miracles. One of my friends wanted to be a prophet. It all got jumbled up, and it all became very interesting when we actually had to deal in the world and had to teach and preach and interact with different folks. We realized that it really wasn't about the gift. It was about us being in community together. How did we encourage one another in love? How did we build each other up to do the good work that God was already starting in the midst? A word of wisdom, receiving and communicating God's understanding of a matter. The word of knowledge, speaking forth information that is directly and solely imparted from God. The gift of faith, that supernatural assurance of things not seen. Gift of healing, supernatural physical and emotional healing. Miracles, God performing something that could not have happened naturally. Prophecy, to declare the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit, the mind of God, edifying, exhorting, and rebuking. and disclosure of things to come. Discerning of spirits. Oh my God, how we need that gift. And operation. Holy Spirit given ability to identify what type of spirit it is at work. Various kinds of tongues, speaking unlearned languages, and words given by the Holy Spirit, tongues of angels, or your heavenly language, and then an interpreter. Amen? Because it is for the building up of the church. This is not an exhaustive list, but it is a list given so that we understand that not only do we have a great work to do, but we have received the first gift. The Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit gives us additional gifts. Amen. To be able to accomplish the good work that God has for us to do. So in our debates there in undergraduate school, we came across all of the reasons why folks believe that the gifts were not in operation anymore. And I can say unequivocally, I'll say that perhaps it is not so. Perhaps it is not so, because we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that the Alpha and Omega still has work for us to do, and you don't give gifts and take them back. That's not how a good father works. These gifts are here. Something is stifling us. Paul says, let me show you the more excellent way. I think it's interesting how love seems to be so connected with the operation of the gifts, right? You can have all the prophecy in the world, but if it's not being done in and through and out of love, you're making a whole bunch of noise. You can give your body to be burned, but if it is not being done in and through and because of love, it means nothing. What does it mean to operate in and through these gifts for love's sake? Love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love that won't fail. Love that will say the tough word of prophecy, the truth in love, because sometimes we need to be corrected. Sometimes we need to hear the word of wisdom for our encouragement, because it's a lot going on out there, and we need to be among one another to see God still working in and through us to be able to go back out there. Love, the power of love. It is the more excellent way. I have been struggling with this word, and my poor mother, who is actually here, has had to hear me whining. It's been hard to think about God's people fully endowed with everything that they need to be a force to be reckoned with, but somehow not able to truly yield to the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. As I searched the scriptures, there was nothing that it seemed like we had to do but do it. There was nothing more that God needed to do. Jesus has already done it all. We have already been promised this gift. We just have to believe and do it. I'll give you a little preview for next week so you come back. Amen. We will be talking about spiritual warfare, and I will delve deep there. The Lord has shown me Mark chapter 9, and without going into the whole thing, there's a portion where Jesus talks to a man whose son is possessed by a demon. And the man wants to know, Jesus, can you do anything? Is there anything that you can do? And I hear us all saying, Lord, is there anything that you can do? Don't you see the state of our country? Don't you see what is going on? Is there anything that you can do, Jesus? Jesus said, if you believe, the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. We believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. Somebody in here has the gift of miracles because we serve a good Father. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Someone in here has a word of prophecy. We believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. Someone in here has the gift of healing. We believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. Your church needs to hear from you. You are a good Father, and you have promised us that these are the gifts that you give us so we can do your good work. These and greater will you do in my name. We are to be able to perform exploits in his name. All authority was given to him, and he gives it to us. What are we doing? I took the spiritual survey. Every time it came back, y'all, it said the same thing. So, the body bears proof. God is God, and he is sitting on the throne. The Holy Spirit is still active, and she is moving even now. A word of prophecy for this place. And to the angel of the church in Durham called Citywell, I write these words. These are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. For I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come on you like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot out your name from the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The beauty of our Lord is that he always seems to give us options. So the Lord gave me this for this place. And to the angel of the church there in Durham, Citywell, first given to the place of brotherly love and sisterly love. These are the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down before you and your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word of patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is. is saying to the churches. Our Lord has given us choices, even in the midst of great words, of rebuking words, of powerful words. The body shows forth the proof. What will our body show forth? Amen.